Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful, here with a name you know. You know, he popped up on one of our prediction streams last year, one of my favorite on-screen experiences last year. You know him as Rohit Raju. You know him as Hakeem Zayn. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. You've had a lot of stuff happening over the last few months. You've always got a lot of stuff happening. You're wrestling all over the country at any given time. First off, just how you been?
Good. Trying to stay busy, trying to stay relevant. Got a chance to step into the ring with some people that I really enjoyed or I was always a fan of. So, like, recently got a chance to work with Warhorse at Warrior Wrestling. That was fun. That was my first time there. That was a great show. I'll be wrestling Dan the Dad Saturday at BLP. And then I have Trey Miguel Thursday at IWR in Michigan. So I'm trying to stay busy every single week. I've been getting some a looky look from AEW. Hopefully that'll go somewhere. But other than that, man, just trying to find my place in the universe.
So one of those places has been Impact Wrestling over the last few years. And a lot of people were surprised when you had announced on Twitter that you would be a free agent, because I think plenty of people remembered that. I think it was October 2020, it was announced that you had signed like a multi-year deal. What exactly happened there? I know you've spoken about it a little bit on other shows, but how did that unfold to where you became a free agent?
Well, I only signed a year extension, so I don't know where the multi, I saw that, you know, and I was like, well, you know, I have no idea where that came from, but my contract was up at December 31st, and we just couldn't agree on money. I felt like I had doubled my value there. No matter what they put me in, I was making it work. You know, anyone they put me in with some of the best guys in the world, Cardona, Rocky Romero, Josh Alexander. Didn't matter if I was doing X Division stuff, wrestling Finn Juice. I was standing there toe-to-toe with these people, putting on good matches. And not only that, but I was reliable and consistent. And then my promo work, I'm going to toot my own horn, but
it was great.
There was nobody in the company that was touching me. So maybe a couple guys, you know, they really cut some really good promos, but I was up there. And so I felt like from the Rohit that had signed even a year prior with my X Division run wasn't the same guy. So I had wanted this amount. They said no, of course. And they offered me this amount. And I was like, hell no. And I felt like it was really low. And I said, I won't do anything for less than this. And they said, sorry, man, we can't do it. I said, okay, you know, well, I guess we'll just part ways. And we parted ways. And that's it. You know, that's what happened. I love Impact Wrestling, and I have nothing bad to say about them. I loved my time there. I miss everybody there. I'm sure the door is open, I would think. You know, I didn't leave on any bad terms. We just couldn't agree on money. So, and it kind of stung a little bit because I was like, worth way more than what you guys offered. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I would agree. Your promo work was outstanding, always entertaining, above and beyond everything. Like, even, like I said, I had you on my prediction show, and that was a blast to do. Like, the character work associated with that. They were like, who would you like? And I said, I'd like to get Rohit on here. He's cutting great promos. Let's have him on here. I think that'd be a great exercise and an opportunity to hear him talk about every wrestler on the roster at that. And our audience loved it. And I think a lot of people, a lot of the audience reflected the work that you put in on that show, because everybody was talking about your matches after that. And you were in this feud with Jordan Grace that you had mentioned. How did you feel about that when you were presented with that idea?
At first I was like, I don't know. Like, cause they wanted it done so quick. But then when I realized what was happening, Willie was holding the belt, and the heat it got afterwards was so awesome. It was very old school, and that's my favorite type of stuff. And then of course our little skirmish at Bound for Glory, you know, she was part of that. And I thought there was actually, we could have ran further with her and I, but it didn't end up happening that way. And then yelling equality before I double stopped her, that was just, I don't know, it was just stupid stuff I pull out of my hat sometimes. It was funny because I saw comments on the internet, and I had done something prior when I had to work with Kylie Rae at, you know, it was one of the collectives, I think it was before COVID. And I remember this fan was like, he's really like that. I've seen him wrestle other people, and I think he's a chauvinist. And I was like, sweet, you know, I'll take that, because if I pull the wool over your eyes, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I think that's missing in professional wrestling. I think MJF is probably the best guy that does that right now. But I'm a fan of that stuff. Like, yeah, you don't like me? Cool. It backfires sometimes. We did a meet and greet, or as I called it, a Rohit and greet at Impact one time. And I remember talking to these fans, you know, because I'm trying to get autographs, like sign autographs. They would not talk to me. They looked at me, and they were not fans at all. And I was like, okay, it's a double-edged sword, because one, I'm doing my job real well, but on the other hand, I'm not putting money in my pocket. So it's like, you know, it's kind of weird.
So to kind of go back to your Impact deals, I know you'd been around effectively since like 2017. I know things really took off in like 2018, but like, had you came in there on a per appearance deal? Had you signed like a series of 1-year deals? How exactly did that work out?
It was all per appearance. The first time it was just kind of like, hey, I won the gut check thing. The first thing I got was my tryout match. I did real well, but that was when Jarrett was in charge. And then all that, you know, kind of stopped, and then I didn't have anything until the gut check. Won that, and then they brought me to the Ottawa tapings, liked what I did, and I got to wrestle Ishimori, which was so awesome. Like, man. But and then they would just sign me per appearance and 1-year extensions, which I was fine with. I didn't mind that. And then I just wanted more this time. Yeah, because I thought I earned it. I said before, wrestling doesn't owe you anything, but I did think I earned much more than what they were trying to give me. And just because I thought my work spoke for itself. And that's something people still fail to realize. Like, you do the wrong thing and read the comments sometimes, comment sections and stuff. This guy's a jobber, he always loses. It's like, well, that's how wrestling works, man. If they want to push me to the moon, they'll push me to the moon. If they don't want to, they will not. So, I mean, the smart ones are still pretty dumb sometimes. So, but it's like if the machine wants to get behind you, it's going to get behind you. If they want to pay you the money, they will pay you the money. And they want to sign you.
They'll justify that pay based on the push if they want to.
Exactly. But like, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I get it. It's business. But if you want to do something, you will do something, because you will go pay so-and-so that amount of money, or you will go pay, or you will sign so-and-so to this amount of contract. And, you know, I don't want to say I took it personally, but it was a hard pill to swallow to know that the value, I do value myself pretty high, but mm-hmm. there's still lots of room to grow. But I feel like that kind of sucked because I felt like my value was way higher than that in the world of professional wrestling. It's not an impact, you know what I mean? Just, and sometimes it's like, oh, damn, it's not catching on for whatever reason.
Have you had any contact with Impact since you left? Because, I mean, it seems like you left on pretty fair terms.
Yeah, I literally texted Scott and asked him if I could still use the name Rohit Raju. He was like, yeah, man.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And so, like, because I was going down to Dark to do that, and I want to still use Rohit because it kind of, you know, after the X-Division run, that kind of really opened up a lot of eyes, and the name actually meant something. It had some value after that. And then just all the other antics I did in Impact after that. So I felt like that I wanted to continue that because that, you know, it wasn't my name. It was something they created. I was, you know, Hakeem Zayn. But I thought I did something with Rohit, and I want to continue to use that and keep that name fresh.
And I've heard of late, like, Impact has been very lenient about IP usage and stuff like that. I mean, a few years ago after the Matt Hardy thing, they were just like, we're just going to release all this IP, and EC3 immediately registered his and all that stuff. So I think that's very progressive. I think that's a very, very good thing, because a lot of companies wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they do a lot of great things. I mean, look at the Forbidden Door. Yeah. Look at all the talent, the Ring of Honor thing that's happening, the New Japan thing that happened, the AEW crossover. That's all tremendous stuff. That all happened at Impact. They don't get enough credit in the world of professional wrestling. People still look at Impact like the redheaded stepchild of professional wrestling, but some of the best wrestlers are there right now, and it blows my mind. And it's funny, like, when said wrestler will go to a different promotion, they're like, oh, this guy's really good. It's like, yeah, he was good when he was wrestling at Impact as well. Nothing changed. He just got a bigger platform, and it's a shame that that company does not get the eyes that it deserves.
Yeah.
But they do. They deserve a bigger audience because – a lot of the stuff they do is really, really good.
That's a point I hear specifically Alex Hammerstone and Richard Holiday bring up. They're like, well, people tell us that we look like AEW guys, but we are MLW guys, and you can watch us literally any week that you want to on the platform that we're on.
Yeah, it's a weird – it's funny. Like, people – because back in the day, people wouldn't even go to indies. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a tough time. But now indies are kind of like – the thing, in a sense, at least with the internet. Someone gets that indie buzz, next thing you know, they're getting signed to some company. And that's kind of cool. But, like, now it's like the lesser brand promotions aren't getting the love because they're lesser brand. It's like, where do you think Seth Rollins came from? You know what I mean? Where do you think Bryan Danielson came from? I that type of mentality and dismissive attitude, it kills me. It's like, why are you, don't be an elitist, enjoy wrestling. There's great wrestling literally everywhere right now. It's like you're just putting yourself in a box and putting blinders on, and you're hating on something just because the internet's telling you to dislike it. It's like, think for yourself, please.
So I'm curious as to sort of the timeline when you knew you'd be leaving Impact, because a lot of things changed a couple months right before that, because there was the announcement that ROH would be going on hiatus, and that eliminates a big option for a lot of people. Did you know around then, or was this after that that you kind of figured out that you wouldn't be staying with Impact?
I think it was in November.
So a little bit after, yeah.
It was the last set of tapings. I think it was in Vegas. That I figured when I sat down and talked to Scott, I was like, they're probably not going to give me what I want. And, but man, in the summer, I was like, well, there's a lot of options. You know, if I don't re-sign, there's a lot of options to go places. AEW didn't have like that full roster yet. Ring of Honor was still popping. And then, of course, you had MLW, NWA. And then like October, November hit, and WWE released so many people. And so, like, those guys had a lot of name value, and people were trying to pick them up. So then Ring of Honor, you know, went on the hiatus, and it was just like, ooh, there's nowhere to go. There is not really too many places that are probably going to pay you what you want. And so, yeah, it was like fear hit instantly. And it was like, man, I'm competing with guys like Swerve. I'm competing with the Buddy Murphys, who have, like, this already worldwide name. And I know I'm good, but the rest of the world might not see it like that. What's going to draw more, bringing in this guy that already has a huge following or bringing in someone that's kind of unknown in most circles. So yeah, like that fear sets in, you're like, oh shit, like what am I gonna do, you know? But then I honestly it sucked because it, like, I shot myself in the foot, kind of. Like, I knew my value.
Yes.
And I didn't want to stay at a place that didn't know my value. So
I don't think there's anything wrong with that too. And I mean, even through that, I mean, you're popping up at like Warrior, Glory, Pro. Like, these are really good indies that people do pay attention to. And New Japan Strong's out there. They're bringing in new people all the time, which I think is always really promising. But I do wonder how the ROH thing will change, because by the time this airs, I will have kind of put out there, I think they're doing no contracts, basically a super indie type of thing. And
so I kind of figured.
Yeah, like basically I think that they probably looked at the landscape, and this is my hunch, and said, we can probably do probably the same numbers on Sinclair without having all these people under contract and just bringing in whoever's available. That's my hunch there. But I'm hoping there's a reemergence in that, because having another major company has benefited the indies during the pandemic. I'm hoping it will benefit along the way. And you popped up in that company for a couple matches. I know you worked Sean Dean in a dark match, and I don't think a lot of people realize Sean Dean books a lot of the extra talent for AEW, so that's a good person to be in the ring with if you're looking to pick up work. And you also did a match against the Wingmen. How did this all come about?
Well, it was really weird, man. I didn't expect anything when I announced that I was a free agent. And I thank you for retweeting it as well, but it blew up. Like, I remember sitting there that night, and I was talking to Jake Sump, and I was like, man, I guess I'll, you know, tweet this out. And we were going, I was like, man, how should I word it? You know, I don't want to make it seem like it's like the end of the world or anything like that. And I ended up tweeting it. And next thing I knew, it was just like, it blew off. And then, like, you retweeted it. And it was later on that night, QT Marshall started following me on Instagram. I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
And then he messaged me right away. He said, hey, TK wanted me to hit you up. Are you done with Impact? I was like, yeah. And he goes, you want to come down for dark? I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, we'll get your information. We'll fly you out. I was like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So I went down there, and, you know, they gave me, let me cut a promo, which I think I knocked that out of the park. I felt like I did. And I got to wrestle. At first, they were like, we don't know what we want to do, because we don't know what, you know, where this is going or any of that. And they kind of were like, yeah, we just want to kind of see you up close and personal. It's like, sweet. And it made me feel good, too, because they're like, yeah, we know who you are. You're proven to us. And I was like, man, that's awesome, because you never know who's watching. You don't know who knows what and who likes what. So it was cool to have a company that is like upper echelon look at you and be like, yeah, man, we know you're good. We just kind of want to get closer eyes on you. So I did that, and I heard good things. They're like, yeah, we're going to bring you back. They brought me back. And then we did the match with the Wingmen, and that's just kind of, you know, it's a different, it was like an 8-man tag, so it was just kind of a thing real quick, you know. So, but it was still cool to be down there, and then I'll be down there for the March ones as well, which is really cool.
Nice.
So obviously I'm hoping something happens with that. It's tough though, because they've been signing guys left and right, so it's like you want to hope there's some landscape for you to put your feet on, but you don't know. But I'm just happy to get the opportunity to work and work at a level and in front of people of that nature. So, yeah. And they've treated me real well since I've been down there, and that's all I can ask for.
I would imagine Tony Khan being at so many of those Impact tapings and shows probably didn't hurt you either, because he got to see a lot of that, I would say. Because, like, there were times I didn't even realize that he was there, and, like, I'm leaving Slammiversary and he's right outside, and I'm like, oh shit, there's Tony.
Yeah, there's times I didn't know he was there. I'd be walking in the hall and there he was. I was like, oh, okay, Tony Khan's there, that's kind of cool. You never know. I never know what he watched. I know he saw me cut a promo one time, but it's like, and he liked it, he gave me like the thumbs up, and but you never know if he remembered that. That was like in the summertime, so who knows. And he's seen 6 billion promos after that. So but no, the fact that they invited me down was pretty big for me, and that was like the one company that I was really hoping that would get a hold of me, and they did. So it was awesome. It was fantastic, and I'm, you know, ride that wave until I see where it goes.
So I assume most of these the dark tapings are probably set for Orlando. That seems like a pretty central hub for a lot of taping wrestling, not so much independent wrestling. Where are you based out of right now?
I'm in Michigan.
So that's a bit of a haul for you. Yeah. But you're flying down there, I would imagine.
Yeah, they fly me out, which is really cool.
That's nice.
In Chicago, we drove to the Chicago one. It was me and Carm and Ren Jones, and we did that during the storm, and that sucked. Whew. That sucked, yeah.
So you have worked a ton of indies, and again, being from Michigan, like...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're going to be exposed to a lot of that stuff, the elements that you have to go through to make a date. And like plenty of times, I'm sure you're like, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Like you're putting your personal safety at risk. What's maybe the most sketchy you've remembered where you're like, am I even going to emerge from this?
Well, this past, I was driving to the airport. I wrestled for Midwest All-Star Wrestling out in like Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, which is like the middle of nowhere. You literally have to fly into the Minneapolis airport and then drive an hour and a half to this spot. And they took real good care of me. But my tire, I didn't know my tire was that bald, and it was. And then, but like I hit a pothole and a chunk of it Ooh. Came out. Next thing I know, I'm like, I didn't think anything of it because my car was still fine. But next thing I know, my tire light comes on and air is just seeping out of this. I'm like, God dang it. Fix a flat, nothing. And I'm like, I got to get a tire on this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. Luckily, I just happened to pull into a Walmart parking lot. I was like, wait a minute. And I was literally jacking it. I was like, wait a minute. This is Walmart. They got to have autos on.
Yes.
The auto place. It was 7 a.m. I was like, okay, they're open. Nobody was there as far as customer wise. So they took the tire off and they showed me, they're like, dude, I don't know how you're driving on this. I was like, oh my God. And then of course I posted it on Twitter and everybody cooked me on it. So I'm well deserved. But they replaced the tire real quick. Shout out to New Hudson Walmart Auto Center.
It always takes me like 7 hours. Like you set up your appointment and it takes me like 7 hours.
I got lucky because I was like, I'm not going to make my flight. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss my flight. And I got there and actually I parked at Johnny Bravo's house. And he dropped me off, and I made it. And there was another time I was doing this show in Canada, and it was like one of my – I think it was like my second show. And I had to I this is when I used to hate driving. I used to have really bad anxiety. True. And it was this huge winter storm, and I had to meet Ted Eric Thomas, TD. He used to wrestle for Ring of Honor years ago. And I'm meeting him in like the ghetto of Detroit, and the snow is just terrible. And somehow we made it to this show. And a young Ethan Page, and I think he was on that show, or Josh Alexander were on that show, amongst some other guys. But, yeah, man, I was like, I'm not going to make it to the show. We did, and somehow we made it there. But, yeah, it's always the snow that is a pain, and it's the worst.
Man, I remember reading Jericho's books, and he talks about having to drive across, like, frozen lakes in Canada.
Yeah.
And then he would get there and it's like 15 people. And then he ended up sleeping like at the venue because like that's where that they weren't getting out of there.
Yeah. Man.
So we talked about your Impact run. You won the X Division title. How far ahead of time do you find out that you're winning? Is it like a day of thing?
It was literally a few days before I went down there because I was just eating crap for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because I remember like it was during COVID and they had already had plans to kind of get me away from the hit squad. But then I had to go back to India. Raj was injured. And then they had Gama and I. And they're like, all right, well, now you're going to yell at Gama now. Gama's not going to yell at you. We're going to kind of let you do your own thing. I was like, oh, that's sweet. Well, then COVID happened and Gama wasn't traveling. So it was just me. And then at one moment they were letting me do like my more bitter attitude like I did at AAW. And then literally the next set of tapings, they were like, ah, no. And I was like, just eating crap. Like, just eating it. I was like, man, what the hell happened? I thought I was in for something good. And then literally the next set, they're like, yeah, you're winning the exhibition title. And I thought it was a rib. I was like, this they're ribbing me. They're messing with me. And literally I was bottom of the barrel last time, and now I'm winning the exhibition title. And I did. And but the funny thing was, I was ready. I was ready to run with it because I've been wanting an opportunity. And so as soon as it happened, I was like, sweet, I'm ready to go. Give me a microphone. Let me do my thing. And that was funny because I remember when I won it, people were like, what is this loser winning? And his job, he sucks. And he's so useless. All you know, hit squad, they were lame, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, cool. You know what? That's just more fuel for me. And then by the end of my run, people were like, oh, I didn't think he could do it, but he was great. That was so entertaining, and this, that, and the other, and this guy's good. So I was like, again, it's how you are perceived and how you are pushed sometimes that makes the difference. I was always, I felt like entertaining, but I was even more when I got the exhibition title because I finally had room to show it. And I also had a lot of confidence as well. So, and then being in the ring with the guys I was with helped me develop into the wrestler I am today and have that confidence to just kind of show out.
Yeah. I mean, you went from, again, where you were to winning the title, and you were beating like Trey Miguel and TJP and Crazy Steve a couple times on TV. I remember the Jake something match as well, another possibly impending free agent. If I believe his deal's up in a couple weeks, into February, as we reported. Yeah,
he's a walking bag of money. Somebody better scoop him up. Is. They better re-sign him. That dude's a star.
I was backstage at Black Label Pro one time. I had never met him, and we were kind of set up next to each other. I was doing interviews. And, like, we would accidentally bump into each other. And I almost bumped off of just bumping into him. I was like, man, this dude's as we call him, a sirloin beef son's a bitch. He's solid, man.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he is. Another dude that I hope people are paying attention to is my partner on the indies, Karam. That's another guy. Yeah. Like, he has that it factor. Like, I always say, like, I remember, like, in WWE seminars, Jim Ross would say the it factor, like, the guy that can walk into a room or an airport or everyone stops and stares. Those who have that. Anytime, like me, I don't have, I have to be half naked and in the ring for you to realize, like, oh, this guy is a really good professional wrestler. He's a guy I want to punch in the face. But those two, they walk into a room and everyone's like, ooh, who are you? You know what I mean? But yeah, they're money.
He's got some looks too of late. Like from the likes of AEW. Yeah, he looks like $1 million. He looks incredible.
He's young and hungry and ready to learn. And then the future is very bright for both those guys. So
my obligatory question, how can we get Monty Brown to wrestle again?
You it's so funny I get asked that.
I know every time, so I'm asking it too.
I don't know, man. Monty's elusive. Like, I haven't seen him in a while, but I talked to Lance when I saw him, because I know him and Monty are really good friends. I said, hey, man, yes. You talked to Monty in a while? And he's like, yeah, I brought him down to watch the football game and blah, 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 blah. And like him, so him and Monty are, he's closer. I used to see Monty in the gym and at shows and stuff like that. And he would randomly text me when I would do something on Impact and give me critiques or tell me how good it was and stuff. So that was always awesome. I haven't spoken to him in a while, so I'll reach out and tell him that, dude, people want you to do something, and he'll probably laugh, and yes, that'll be it.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's a dream interview for me. I think he's just amazing, that special charisma. And Lance got him to do that video for him for an AEW thing. But the former Kevin Thorne, Kevin Fertigue, was also a buddy. His brought him in for, I believe it was a cancer benefit show, and Monty showed up for it. And Kevin said, he was like, man, my phone blew up. He's like, every promoter was like, how can I get him? How can I get him? And I was like, well, Mikey from Black Label Pro is just going to have to wait because he ain't taking dates yet. But
no,
like, he's one of those unique stories. And like, in that he left wrestling, but he still has contact with people like yourself, Lance Archer, Kevin Fertigue. It's not like he's like, oh man, wrestling can piss off. He's just, it seems like he's happy and he found success.
When I talk to him, when we start talking about wrestling, like, it's funny when if I'm walking in the store, you know, sometimes you can feel someone watching you at the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
I'll look and he'll be down there like this, ready to pounce me. Oh, gotcha, man. See, slacking. I'll see him. But when we see each other at the gym, I'd see him and I'd do the same thing to him. And then we'd lock up in the gym or something like that. And it's just, but when you start talking to him about wrestling, his eyes light up. He still has that passion for it. And when he would explain to me things like, well, you got to find something that makes you different. You know, when I used to have the Mohawks, like, man, make it purple or something like that. Like, you just got to have something to stand out. You already got everything else. You just got to stand out. And he would talk to me with such passion about it. So he still has that love for professional wrestling. And I love the fact that professional wrestling still has love for Monty Brown.
He seems like a guy that would be perfect for the Performance Center. Maybe not for the technique aspect, but you want to talk like the stuff you mentioned, like standing out and accelerating your character.
Yes. Like that's, I remember when, cause I knew him, I was like, Monty's wrestling? I was like, no way, man. And then I watched when TNA used to have the $5 pay-per-views and I saw him cut a promo. I was like, this dude's awesome. I was like, that's Monty?
So you knew him, but you knew him before.
Yeah. Cause I used to work at like FYE and we would go to the gym and I just knew of him. And he used to have like this long black hair and he was always a beast. And then when I found out that he liked wrestling, he would come into my work and we would just talk about wrestling all the time. And then I remember he didn't know what Ric Flair's music was. And I did. I was like, oh, yeah, this is Space Odyssey, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, cool. And so he bought the CD because he needed it for something. And then when I started training and going to shows, one of my first, before I was cleared, I was reffing. And it was one of his, like, last matches before he went off to WWE. But, yeah, I was a ref for him. But then when I started to wrestle, of course, I was just at first heavily involved in the Michigan scene. He would always come out to shows and watch. And he would always pull me aside, tell me about my work, my character, my charisma, what I need to work on, what's working. And that never stopped. When I signed with Impact, he did the same thing. He would text me like, hey, bro, I watched this. This is great. When I won the X Division title, he was one of the first people I told. He was so happy and proud of me. He's like, see, there you go, man. Now, and then I think he watched something I did when I was X Division champion and he texted me and it was just really cool, man. He's a great
awesome.
Guy.
That's awesome. He's a cool dude. Like I know Bron Breakker can bend Rick and Scott Steiner's ear. I would love like Monty Brown to just have a conversation with Bron Breakker and them to just, first off, I want to watch them shoulder block each other. That would be cool. But
yeah, I think it'd be like the Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Rohit Raju, Hakeem Zayn, tell the people where they can find you, where they can support you, where they can follow you.
Of course, ProWrestlingTees.com/Rohit. I've been slacking, though. I got to get some new designs up. I didn't get anything new because I didn't know if I could use the name Rohit.
Yeah.
So I'll go like to merch tables and like have just just have 8x10s. People are like, you don't have any shirts or nothing? I was like, no, I don't want to get anything new made because I didn't know if I could still what I could use. But of course, Twitter, at Hakeem Zayn, RajuZayn80 on Instagram. If you're in the Michigan area, I always have my school, the Dragon's Lair Pro Wrestling Academy. Definitely come out and roll around with the kids and the students. You know, roll around with me. We can chop it up a little bit. I love seeing people come through. And, of course, the students do as well. Can't get into my Facebook, so I lost my Facebook page. So that sucks.
Oh.
And I'm on YouTube here and there. I don't really do anything with it. My friends keep telling me to get a vlog, but I'm like, everybody has a vlog. I'd rather appear on Ethan's vlogs and be an idiot.
That's great.
So. Other than that, that's it, man. And of course, I will be at IWR Monroe, Michigan, wrestling Trey Miguel, and then Black Label Pro wrestling Dan the Dad. I can't wait for that.
Nice.
Keep your eyes peeled. I'll be showing up on AEW Dark here and there, and who knows where I'll be showing up next.
Until next time, guys, we're out. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Hakeem Zayn, also known as Rohit Raju. Just left Impact. I've got the hiccups. I've got the hiccups while I'm doing this read. He just left Impact Wrestling, and now I've got the hiccups. Well, you know what? You won't have a hiccup when you're trying to watch your favorite shows, no matter where you are, when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Avoid the region... Say again! Avoid the region blocking when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click. Access your content from over 59 different countries by changing that virtual location with just one click, and it's the fastest VPN in the world. Your internet traffic is routed through secure encrypted tunnels that protect your data and privacy, and you can use it on up to 6 different devices. Phone, TV, iPad, router, laptop. Whether you've got the hiccups or whether you don't, maybe you want to feel secure. I don't feel very secure right now doing an ad read with hiccups, but you know what? I'm rolling with the punches. But you can feel secure when you're traveling, when you're on that hotel Wi-Fi, that airport Wi-Fi, that restaurant Wi-Fi. Protect yourself. It's usually unsecured. It's not safe to browse on. You leave yourself open to hackers and hiccups. But again, no hiccups with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You get an additional month free when you subscribe as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.